You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
Turn to Ezekiel 20, if you would. Ezekiel 20. And just want to share some passages on Israel. But really, what I want to really say is, again, what Sean was just saying, translating, and Jason, that really only Rakata, only God can do certain things, you know? Only God can do certain things. And he not only can, but listen, he will. He will. All the promises of God in Messiah are what? No, and I don't think so. I don't think so. Oh, I got mistranslated. Sorry. Yes and amen. Or if you're a King James or yay. Yay. He was a cheer. I like to cheer. Most of my memorization is in King James. Oh, that's all right. I love it. And a lot of it's actually, I told you, very accurate. Anyway, so, all right. So I'm just going to share this one. I don't think I've ever shared this before, this story about Israel. But a woman arrives at El Al in New York to board a plane for Israel. And she's carrying a dog inside a small carrying case. "I want to take the dog with me on the flight," she tells the chief steward. "That's not permitted," he says. "I want the dog with me," she yells. The steward assures her that the airline will keep the dog carrier in a designated part of the luggage section and that the dog will be totally safe. If, however, she continues to insist that the dog be seated alongside her, neither she nor the dog will be permitted to board. The woman finally relents, and the dog is taken away. When the plane arrives at Ben Gurion Airport, the steward sees to his sorrow that the dog is dead. He's in dread. What will he tell the woman? He summons his assistant. "Look," he says, "this dog is a light brown cocker spaniel. Just rush down to Tel Aviv, buy a light brown cocker spaniel the size of this one, and come right back. She won't know the difference." The steward stalls the woman, telling her that the custom officials must make numerous inspections before approving the dog's entry into the country. Finally, the assistant arrives with the dog. The steward removes the dead dog from the carrier, substitutes the new one, and goes out to the woman. She takes one look at the dog and starts screaming, "This isn't my dog! This isn't my dog!" "Of course it's your dog, madam," the steward says. "It's not! It's not!" she says. "How do you know?" "Because my dog is dead. I was bringing him to be buried in the Holy Land." All right, I'm finished. I have to definitely read that one, or it wouldn't. You have to do it. It wouldn't come out right. oh boy. But so, I guess I'll tie that in and say so. 2020 rather, May 11th through 20th will be our tour to Israel. So put it on your calendar. Pray and ask the Lord to provide the means. And I believe he will if he wants you to. I know he will if he wants you to go. It's going to be amazing. We're hoping to get Sean as our tour guide. Serious. Unbelievable. One of the best tour guides. Best tour guide in Israel. Not Yoter Tov. So hopefully he'll be guiding us. And it's going to be amazing. So May 11th through 20th. So from ILTV, Israeli TV, as of May 2019, a few stats here. Israel's population, so just May, this year, Israel's population is just over 9 million, 75% Jews, 75% are Jews, 43% between the ages of 0 and 20. That's a young nation. Our nation is a young nation, 43% between 0 and 20. One out of 50 have the name, guess what last name one out of 50 have in Israel? Right, Cohen, very good. What's Cohen mean? Priest. We're called to be, Israel's called to be a priestly nation. We're going to look at that, because that's what God's calling is for them. That's what they're going to come into. Highest number of startups in the world in Israel now. 1,400 startups each year. Intel's investing in 11 billion production plant. 8,200 high-tech companies now. Number one in research and development, Israel is. Number two in scientific research. Ranked 13th happiest country in the world. fifth for health and longevity. Average age for women, 85. Average age lifespan for men, 81. 10th most healthy country, according to Bloomberg, was all the fruits and vegetables. Once you eat fruits and vegetables in Israel, you come back here, yeah, you don't want to eat anything. Oh, we're so spoiled when we go over there. 1948, 2% of Israel was covered with trees when they became a nation, 2%. Now, 8.5%. It's the only country that's actually increasing the numbers rather than decreasing, I believe. 88.6 Israelis are, quote, pleased with their lives, unquote. Now, what is it in the U.S.? I don't know. It's not that high, that's for sure. But the rebirth of the state of Israel is a prophetic fulfillment of the words of the Jewish prophets from over 2,500 years ago, an answer to the prayers, dreams, and aspirations of Jews around the world for the past 25 to 30 centuries. Think about it. The concluding Passover Seder prayer in every Jewish person's Haggadah for the last 3,000 years, or really since the Haggadah has been, it's not been that long, but in every remote region or country and land where Jews live in dispersion, exile, and diaspora, what's the concluding prayer? Next year. Yeah, next, Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. So look at Ezekiel 20, verses 40, just some of these passages, so amazing. I'm just going to race through some of them. And we had a great week, by the way. Roger brought Chaim from the Aliyah Return Center on Tuesday night. That was great and had a decent group. Some of you came, and he's doing, pioneering a great work there. And Joshua, what's the guy's name on Monday night? Joshua Aaron had a great concert. We had a big crowd Monday night, if you weren't here. I think 150 people, someone said. That was a great turnout. And he's just such an anointed servant. Blessed, God's really using him. You know, God uses music in so many ways, doesn't he? Music to reach so many people. I know God spoke to me to plant my first Messianic congregation, and it came through the Word of God, but you know how it came through the Word of God? Through Joel Chernoff's music. Elsie, I don't know if I've ever told you that. But as I was at Messiah Conference, and he was singing, the Holy Spirit literally took the words from his song and said, you are to go and plant a Messianic congregation. I was pastoring, and I planted a regular non-denominational church. But God's Word, you know, and God uses music to bypass our defenses so many times and can reach so many people. But it's the Word of God, but it comes in different ways. And so Ezekiel 20, 40 through 42, it says, there the whole house of Israel, all of them, will serve me in the land. And I'm just reading portions of it. They'll serve me in the land. God's called Israel to serve him. And I will, when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the countries where you've been scattered, you will know that I am Adonai, I am the Lord, when I bring you into the land of Israel. Now the rabbis say the knowledge of God is the purpose of creation. Obviously, to know the Lord. That's what Yeshua said, the exact same thing in John 17:3. He said, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Yeshua, the Messiah, speaking it of himself, the one you sent. To know God. You know, when it's the first appearance of this word, and I don't have it to show, but yada, let's say yada, it's the root, yud, hey, ayin, is used in Genesis 4:1 when it says, Adam knew Chava, his wife, and she conceived and gave birth. Va'adam yada et Chava, ishto vata'ar v'teled. So the word yada is to know, and the first usage is the sexual union between a man and his wife, husband and wife. So think of what it means to know the Lord, right? To know the Lord is to have an intimate union with him, a special union that no one can duplicate, that's just you and him. And not only that, but to give birth to others. Our knowledge, if I'm really knowing the Lord and I'm walking closer to him, I'm going to want to bring others to know him too. So a real sign of someone that doesn't say, that talks, can have a lot of God language, but isn't really walking with the living God, is they don't care about other people perishing. They don't care about the other people knowing the Lord. It's just me. That's enough. But it's both. It's that I know the Lord. The closer I walk to him, God loves the world. He so loved the world. He cares about others. So my heart will be, that will rub off on me, and I want to bring others to the Lord. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this. In what? That he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight. Or Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34, in the New Covenant, the Brit Hadashah that God promised the Jewish people, and that we're all Jew and Gentile grafted into and through Yeshua, when we trust Yeshua. I will put my law in their minds, write it in their hearts. I will be their God. They'll be my people. No more shall everyone teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least to the greatest, says the Lord. And how do we know him? For I'll forgive their iniquity, and their sin will be remembered no more. How about Hosea 6:3? So let us know. I love this verse. This verse was special to me as a new young believer. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. Paul says, my goal is that I may know him. Philippians 3:10, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You can't separate the two. The two go together, being made like into likeness of his, to be conformed into his death. Now, as we talk about the phases of what's happening prophetically and the Jewish people coming back to the land, whether we use the story, we'll look at the dry bones but in Ezekiel 37. But as we talk about that and we say, how many steps are there? I'm not really sure, but I am sure of this, that they all overlap and interweave. I'm sure it's not just, oh, one thing happens, then the next. God doesn't work that way, just simply chronologically. And it's interesting because the way things are translated as we look into Ezekiel 36 and take a look over there, as we look at that, we'll get there in a second, but we see I should have checked my grammar. My mom was an English professor. I should know grammar better. But the conjunction, I think you would say, conjunction is a vav. And sometimes it's translated so, and then, different things. But it's really just the vav. It's really and, because it's all interweaving. It's not like chronological. But anyway, I'm just going to skip one verse, but Ezekiel 20, verses 43 and 44, before we go to 36, says, you will remember your ways and all your deeds by which you defiled yourselves. You will loathe yourselves for all your evil that you have done. Then you will know that I am Adonai when I deal with you for my name's sake, and not according to your evil ways and your corrupt deeds, house of Israel. What would be those corrupt... we can go back, Alex, because we're not the dry bones yet. Move back some and see some. But what does it mean Israel's evil ways and the corrupt deeds? Well, God likens Israel in the book of Hosea and also Ezekiel, well, also other places, Jeremiah, early chapters, he says, I'm married to you. Like, I think it's 3:14 of Jeremiah. He says, I'm married to you, says the Lord. He's grieving because Israel, is she a faithful wife? No, Israel's unfaithful to God. And her idolatry is basically, God says, it's just like your wife, your spouse, husband or wife, committing adultery. And it breaks God's heart. And so that's what it's like. God says, you're, instead of knowing me, instead of walking with me and being excited about your relationship with me, you're excited about other other people. And this is what God has to cleanse Israel of. So Titus 3, 5, and 6 says, not by deeds of righteousness which we have done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the mikvah of rebirth and renewing of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1, 9, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling. That's all of us here. Not because of our deeds, but because of his own purpose and grace, the grace given us in Messiah Yeshua before time began. God chose you before time began. Ephesians 1, 4, he has predestined you before, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And so here he says it to Israel, not according to your evil ways, I'm going to deal with you. Ezekiel, now 36, over to chapter 36, verses 24 on, it says, I'll take you from the nations, gather you, verse 24, out of the countries and bring you back to your own land. Then, again, here's then, but it's really and. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean from all your uncleanness, from all your idols. Moreover, I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit, a lev chadash and a ruach chadashah, ruach chadashah, a new heart and a new spirit. I do have a Alex, move ahead. I got a one with Hebrew on it. If you'll find it somewhere in there. Has the keep going. See a bunch of Hebrew. There you go. Thank you. Wonderful. All right. Let's say Lev Chadash. That's in the red. New heart, a new heart, and then Ruach Chadashah. That's a new spirit. And there I put the conjunction. There's the and there, so you see the vav. God says, and then he's going to give him his spirit. He says, but Ruchi, but I will put my spirit, there it is, verse 27, Ruchi, my spirit within you, and I'll cause you to walk in my laws. It's not in your power in yourself, but it's through my power that you'll keep my rulings to do them, and you'll live in the land, and you'll be my people, and I'll be your God. And so I'll save you from all your uncleanness. Verse down to verse 31, when you remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, you will be disgusted with yourselves because of your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake will I do this, says the Lord. Let it be known to you. Let be ashamed and confounded for your ways, house of Israel. God's saying it's grace. It's not according to your worthiness. It's my purpose, my calling, my word, my promises, my decision, like the covenant of the parts. Remember in Genesis 15, God was the only one that walked through it, not Abraham. It was God's covenant through the dead animals, you know, with the dead animals. And so he says here, I'm going to clean you, sprinkle you with clean water. Let's see, that's down a little further. You're going to be rebuilt. But he says, I'm going to gather you. I'll take you from the nations, gather you, and then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness and from your idols. So the impurities and contaminants are cleansed and removed by God like a mikveh. Like an immersion, like it has to be always living or running water. Israel became infected and stained through her contact with the dead, being among the nations in exile for two millennia. But she was an unfaithful wife there, as we talked. And this is a picture. God himself washes away the filth. God himself. Titus 3:5 again, he saved us through the mikveh of rebirth. The washing, the renewing of the Ruach HaKodesh, whom he abundantly poured out on us through Messiah, our Savior. And verse 26, he says, moreover, I'll give you the new heart. We read that. And I'll remove the stony heart, it's Hebrew, the stone heart, from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh, a sensitive covering or coating, basically. I'll put my spirit within you, and we read that. I'll save you from your all your uncleanness. The stone heart, some rabbis say, is I like this definition, it means it's unreceptive to the spirit's stimulation. So if my heart is a stone heart, I'm not receptive to the spirit's stimulation. In contrast to, God says, a fleshy heart is pliant and ready to submit. What a difference, isn't it? And that's the new heart and spirit that God gives us at rebirth, a new nature and a new desire, a new hunger, a new craving. When we're reborn or revived by God, when we're whether it's our rebirth or if you've come, if you've had to have a come back to the Lord because you've been straying and you're in and you've gone away from God, it could be that kind of recovery. When that you're revived by God, we're given a new nature and a new desire. 1 Peter 1:23 and 2, chapter the end of 1 and beginning of chapter 2, you've been born again, not from perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So get rid of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all, TLV translates, lashon hara, the evil tongue, evil speech. As newborn babes, long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow towards salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. So I'll ask myself, what am I hungry for? Ask yourself, what am I hungry for? What do I crave and long for? Is it God? Is it the Lord? Is it Yeshua? Or is it something else? I'm joined to him. And then in verses 31 through 33 of Ezekiel 36 says, when you remember your evil ways, be ashamed. And I read that already, be disgusted. I will cause the cities, then he says, to be inhabited, and the ruins will be rebuilt. 35 and 36, they will say, this land that was a wasteland has become like the Garden of Eden, like Gan Eden. The waste, desolate, and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. God can do that as he's done for Israel in your life and in the life of someone you're praying for. Amen. Then the nations that are around, all around you will know that I, Adonai, have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted what was desolate. Can you picture that as it's happened to Israel, it happening for your life too and for other someone else's life? I, Adonai, have spoken it. And listen to this. So I will do it. I will do it. God has to be the one that does it. You can't do it for yourself or for someone else, but God can. And that's our testimony. They'll say, just like of Israel, they'll say, look at her. Look at him. Look at where they are now. Can you believe that God's going to do that for someone you're praying for? He will. It doesn't happen at your timing, but God's timing. Joel 2:25, he says, I will, love this verse, I will restore to you the years that the locust, the swarming locust, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar have eaten. My great army that I sent among you. God sent among you. The word restore is shalom. Let's say shalom, the root. I don't think I have it up there anywhere. Shalom is the root, where we get shalom from, of course. It means to complete, to harmonize, to make whole. God wants to complete you. God can do it. In the letter to the Kahila, the community at Rome, the body of Messiah at Rome, Paul moves from the end of Romans 8 to show the perfect example of it in chapters 9 and 11. In other words, the end of 8 where he says, only three things can separate you from the love of God that's in the Messiah. Did I quote that right? Is that what it says? God says, yeah, three things can separate you from the love of God in the Messiah. All right, just two things, right? Nothing, thank you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in the Messiah, Yeshua. And he goes into, you know, it's the most powerful chapter in the Bible, in a sense, you know, for the end of Romans chapter 8, all of it. But, you know, all these things were more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm convinced death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created, is able to separate us from the love of God in the Messiah, Yeshua, our Lord. And before that, he says, what shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
And notice he doesn't say what, because behind the inanimate, what things that we think are inanimate are real animate things. There's a spiritual battles going on. It's God, angels and demons, it's reality. So it's not what's against us, it's who, because behind that, that's why we need to pray. That's why this all depends on. So he says, but says they don't win. God wins. God wins, he says. Who is against? If we only see God. If God is for us, I don't see the other stuff. If my eyes are on him, mostly I see, and he mentions separate, it says tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. And we're sacrificed all the day long, he says. But he says, and all these things are more than conquerors. So Paul goes from there, and it's like he's saying, this after, you don't believe me? Let me give you an example, the most important example I can give you. The nation of Israel, the Jewish people. Chapters 9 through 11. He says, and turn to Romans 11. He says, I say then, did they stumble to fall so as to fall? Verse 11. Did they stumble so as to fall? And I'm just going to read select verses. May it never be. But by their false steps, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. Now, if their transgression leads to riches of the world and the loss, their lost riches for the Gentiles, for the nations, how much more their fullness? For if their rejection leads to the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be? It's going to happen. It's happening in part, but it's going to happen. But life from the dead. There's the resurrection. And here's the picture in chapter 37 of Ezekiel. They also, if they don't continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in. Is God able?
Yep.
Wait, are you sure?
Yes, positive.
Is God able?
Amen.
Let's say God is able.
God is able.
Very good. Whatever you're facing, let's say it. God is able. Let's say it again. God is able. One more time. God is able. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God is able. You're not able. Others aren't able. God is able to graft them in again. How much more will these natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I don't want you, brothers and sisters, to be ignorant of this mystery. Why? Partial hardening come upon Israel till the fullness of the nations has come in, and this way all Israel will be saved. At that time, is why I understand it. But it's going to be amazing. And my covenant with them, and I take away their sins. There has to be repentance. There will be. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. For God has shut up. Listen to this. For God has shut up. This is amazing. The end of chapter 11 of Romans. For God has shut up who and how many in disobedience?
All.
All. God has shut up all in disobedience so that he might show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How incomprehensible his... Wait. I've checked the Greek on that. How searchable are his judgments. How comprehensible are his ways. That's what it must say. I can understand God's ways. Then he says... For who has known the mind of Adonai, and who has been his counselor? Who's going to tell him what to do? Who's going to give advice to God? We try to. We do it all the time, don't we? There is no way that you or I or anyone else can figure out what God can and what God will do. Can you guess that? It's fresh to me. When I was looking over this last night, that's what the Spirit was saying to me. You can't figure out, no one can figure out what God can do and what God will do. Would you receive that from the Lord?
Yes.
It's so far beyond us. Read it when you go home today on Shabbat, the end of Romans 11. Read it and let the Spirit, let it. Again, the vav used in the passage in Ezekiel 17 times I counted in a part of it. And it may be translated as and, so, or then, or moreover, but really it's just and, not then, because it's not necessarily sequential or chronological in order, in my opinion. This is my feeling. You have the gathering of the Jewish people, you have a cleansing, you have the filling. There seems to be somewhat in order there, but I think it's not just so rigid. There's going to be a full repentance. There's going to be a turning to the living God from sin, a hating, and there needs to be a hating in our lives too of repentance, hating the former life and the former ways, a despising it, being disgusted with it. But look what God can do. He rebuilds and he restores. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I remember the teacher mentored me a lot in a part of my life. I love the way he mentioned in that verse, we don't turn from idols to God. We turn to God from idols. It's a big difference. Because the power to turn from sin is turning to him, is looking to him, right? If I try to say, I won't sin, I won't do it. Here in Romans chapter 7. But the power, I turn to the Lord, give myself to God, submit to him, abandon myself to him, give myself to him, and he gives me the power and the hatred and the disgust for the former garbage. I could say a bad word, but I won't. Right? Yeah. If it came to your minds, because you've heard bad things. So, that's what it is. So Romans 2:4, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. And so let's look at Ezekiel 37 and we're done. Ezekiel 37, quickly to that passage. I'm not going to read it, but look at what we have is the dry bones are in a valley and what do? They come together, right? It says in verse 7, look at verses 7 through 10. In verse 7 through 10, it says, they come together. I prophesied just as I was commanded. I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, an earthquake. Then the bones came together, bone to bone. I saw, and behold, there was tendons on them. Flesh came on, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the Ruach. And he says, come from the four winds. Amen. Thus says the Lord, come from the four winds. Ruach, breathe, Spirit, breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me. The Ruach came upon them, and they lived. They stood up their feet, a vast army. It doesn't really say that. But it says, a voice rattling, or an earthquake. The bones come together, bone to bone, verse 7. Then, verse 8, the next step seems to be the flesh and the skin cover them, but no breath or spirit in them. The Ruach ein bahem. No spirit or breath. Then breath enters them and they live. And it says, and came into them the spirit and they lived. Like reading it in Hebrew, that's what it says. And then they stand up together. Seems like a fourth step, so to speak. And they stand up together. And I would translate it extremely enabled and expanded. They stood on their feet, enabled, it says, Chayil Gadol Me'od Me'od. There we go, got it up there. Yeah, Chayil Gadol, let's try it. Chayil Gadol Me'od Me'od. Very good. Very, very, like a lot. And these words mean, you know, enabled, Chayil, to be increased and expanded, and is Gadol, rather, and then Chayil is enabled. And so, there's not really officially a mention of the army. Maybe there's a picture of the army. Some say, is it the dry bones? It's an army. It was, you know, a battlefield, maybe. But doesn't say that. As far as I can see. But they stand up. So where are we now? In what phase of what God is doing for the Jewish people? Well, number one occurred, we would believe, most of us believe, in 1948 when Israel was reestablished as a nation before the world. Out of the ashes of the Holocaust, gathered back into the land from all the nations, the foreign lands. And yes, we think it was crucial this year that the U.S. Embassy was moved to Jerusalem. Thank God for that. Thank God for a president doing that. It's a statement to the world that we stand with Israel and the Bible. Aren't you glad for that?
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And took courage to do that. And so let me say these, put it these ways, four steps. And again, they overlap and they interweave. But restoration, then the maturing of the nation, or maybe the second step is the repentance, the cleansing that takes place. Then spiritual revival, and then service, priestly missional service. Israel is called to be that priestly nation. And so we're in phase two at present, but also the beginnings, at least the beginnings of Numbers 3 and 4. And maybe Sean could speak on this at some point. I would love him to give us his insight on this. And there's a program that I have, and if you can find, go down a little bit. I just read of this from Ma'oz Ministries of Netzor, the Netzor program by Netiva, I'm not saying it right. Joel Goldberg, the founder. There we go. Yeah, thanks. Great, Alice. And it was under from Ma'oz, which we support as a congregation, Ari and Shira Sorkaram, and their incredible ministry. Listen to this. So it's for high, and there's several, so you can kind of scroll through, and there's like, yeah, that's him, and several pictures. He's the founder for high school graduates just before they go into the army. Netzor is a 10-day course that challenges these teenagers to know what they stand for and to encourage them to make a decision now. They're kids who have been raised in the faith, the Messianic Jewish faith, but have never made a wholehearted commitment to serve Yeshua no matter what. Serve him no matter what. These are the ones, he says, who they found who lose their way in the army. This year, we're because they get under temptation, they get under their barrage, their faith, they don't know, you know, all sorts of things. And it says, this year, he said, we're expecting 60 to 70 to go through the Netzor training. Netiva offers 22 conferences, camps, and programs each year. That's amazing, isn't it? What a great service. So Ezekiel says in verses 11 through 14, 37, he says, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we're cut off. So he says, behold, God says, I'll open your graves, I'll bring you up out of your graves, my people, I'll bring you back to the land of Israel, and you will know that I am Adonai. I am Hashem, I am God, the Lord. When I have opened your graves and brought you up out of your graves, my people, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I am Adonai and have spoken, and that I have done it. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. My wife mentioned these verses yesterday and said, look at this. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our trouble that happened in Asia. We were under great pressure, so far beyond our strength that we despaired even of living. You say, Paul, you felt like ending your life? You felt like giving up? We despaired even of living. You with the other apostles or disciples? In fact, we had within ourselves the death sentence. But why? So that we might not rely on ourselves, but on who? God, who raises the dead. He who rescued us, and then here's your past, present, and future. He who rescued us from so great a danger of death will continue to rescue us. We have set our hope on him that he will rescue us again. Past, present, and future. Of course, Hebrew has only perfect and imperfect tenses biblically, but that's, we won't get into that. And so Psalm 30, verse 6 says, weeping may stay for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's say that. Weeping may stay for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You ever hear that? There's a beautiful song in that. Joy comes in the morning. Da 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 da. Anyone hear that song? Da da da. Beautiful song. Joy. Weeping may joy. And so I close with this. Ezekiel 39, verses 28, 29. Listen to this. Ezekiel 39, verses 28 and 29. Then they will know that I am Adonai their God, since it was I who caused them to go into exile among the nations, yeah, and I who will gather them back to their own land. I will never again leave them there. Amen. I will never again hide my face from them, for I have poured out my ruach, my spirit, upon the house of Israel, says the Lord. So God is pouring out his spirit upon the Jewish people now, but it will only increase. It's not the full rain yet. It's like the rain that starts lightly, maybe a brief downpour or a cloudburst, and then a pause maybe, and then suddenly there's going to be a torrential, drenching rainstorm. What does that look like? Maybe Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Come, let us return to Adonai, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has smitten, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, and we will live in his presence. So let us know. Let us strive to know what? Not a what. It's a who? The Lord, right? Let us strive to know the Lord. Like dawn, his going forth is certain. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter rain watering the earth.